Chapter 4 Continued Part 2 of How to Win the War on Waste in 90 Days. We have spent a bit of time talking about the Black Knights. They are the people in any organization who interfere with the implementation of ideas. They are usually those in the organization that don't want change. For them, they have a nice little life that change will disrupt. We got this idea from the Monty Python movie, In Search of the Holy Grail. There is a scene in which the Black Knight is defending a bridge against another knight who wants to cross the bridge. Of course, the Black Knight wins. He always wins. As King Arthur approaches, he asks to cross the bridge. The Black Knight refuses, and a battle begins with swords clashing, and ultimately, the Black Knight losing one of his arms. But it is but a scratch, he says. Then the other arm and both of his legs are lost. As he sits there, the Black Knight is a stump of his former self. King Arthur calls it a draw and moves on across the bridge. Why is this funny? Well, the bridge is over a small creek, and King Arthur could just as well have jumped across the bridge and continued on his or jumped across the creek and continued on his way, but he doesn't. He just must cross that bridge. So a couple of things are going on. The Black Knight is defending a stupid position, crossing the bridge. And King Arthur challenges him, probably unnecessarily. I enjoyed this scene because I had seen it just after I had an encounter with a Black Knight in a small business. He ended up defending the status quo when the CEO told him emphatically that we were going forward with this great idea that an employee had suggested. The CEO had not lopped off his arms and legs yet, but he almost got to that point. Of course, the CEO prevailed, and from that point forward, our use of the analogy has been an integral part of the war on waste. In a typical engagement, I might show the Black Knight scene from In Search of the Holy Grail. You could view it on YouTube by searching for Black Knight scene from Holy Grail, and they'll bring it up to you. I might say something like, most companies have a few of these people hanging around, and then I might ask something like, do you have any of these people here? And boy, do I get a few laughs, and a lot of people looking around the room and mouthing a name or two. As I noted in the previous section, we're trying to get along better with Black Knights, and we've discovered a way to do that in a tribal knowledge paradigm. In fact, through our encounters with Black Knights, that our solution leads to a better paradigm finally emerged. After all, we need to give them an alternative management option. The proposed option will allow them to save face and join the team. Change without reprisal. This is what the war on waste is all about. If you want to make your organization receptive to change, there can be no reprisal. Getting even on people who offer suggestions for improvement. You must protect those ideas for change with no blame. It is no blame change. In one of my early engagements, a worker was really excited about an idea that he had. He went home on the first weekend of the war on waste and drew up a precise engineering rendering of his solution. Noted, he was not an engineer. He was a line worker in a factory. When he got to work on Monday, he was so excited, he gave his papers to the foreman who was just throwing out the coffee grounds for the first pot. The foreman looked at the papers, dropped them into the garbage, and followed them by the grounds. The poor employee grabbed his papers from the garbage can and ran over to me. He was angry and afraid. He was angry that his hard work was dismissed so casually, and he was afraid that the foreman was going to do something to him. Of course, the foreman tried, but we were able to protect our employee's idea and turn it into a success. It was a wonderful idea that cost about $100 to implement and increased the output of his work area by 15%. $250,000 increase of output per year. Not a bad ROI. John Steinbeck may have said this best, quote, "And this I believe, that the free exploring mind of the individual human is the most valuable thing in the world. And this I would fight for, the freedom of the mind to take any direction it wishes, undirected. And I must fight against any idea, religion or government or corporation," those are my words, "which limits or destroys the individual. This is what I am and what I am about." I won't get into what I did, but it was not nice. After all, the foreman had just thrown down the gauntlet. Believe me, I was up to the challenge. You don't do that to anyone. You just don't. Ideas must be accompanied without any attitude of reprisal of any sort, and as leaders, we must fight to protect those with the ideas. The No Blame motto, no excuses. The No Blame motto was developed to encourage employees to come up with ideas. It serves as their protection from black knights that fight change in the organization. But there is a downside. When an employee invokes no blame, there is no accountability. And that's why we came up with the idea of no excuses. When an employee team fails to measure up to its capabilities, they accept the consequences and report data honestly. They do so with the understanding that no blame is the operating philosophy of the company, and that is what we want. However, a manager has the right to investigate the reason for low performance under the banner of no excuses. In other words, the workers use no blame and the managers invoke no excuses. We call this accountability. An interesting approach in this regard is Silicon Valley executive T.J. Rogers. He leads with no excuses in his management style. He holds people accountable to a rather stern management approach. There is no shield of no blame for his employees. In fact, he loves to blame and go after underperforming personnel. He feels that it is right to do that because he is protecting shareholder value. In fact, he wrote a book entitled No Blame Management: Proven Systems for Starting Fast, Growing Quickly, and Surviving Hard Times. In the book, Rogers described the success that he's had by invoking no excuses as the foundation of his management philosophy. It is a very heartless approach, but he argues that it forces his employees to be alert and focus on shareholder value. Granted, he gets some results, but he had a significant turnover problem while executing this philosophy. I don't necessarily agree with his approach and agree that it is a good way to manage. In fact, I believe that the war on waste achieves a lot more by getting everyone involved, by focusing on optimizing value to customers and shareholders using both the no blame and no excuses philosophies. The end of chapter 4. You can read more about this process in two URLs that we've established, www.waronwasteacademy.com and www.lenbertainsbooks.com.